For years, our relationship with software has been, well, a lot like using a GPS navigation system.
Yeah, exactly. It's just advisory.
Right. It tells you where to go, it highlights the optimal route on a screen, and maybe it even warns you about a speed trap ahead or something. But you are still the one driving the car. Like, your hands are on the wheel.
Right. The software is just waiting for you. It needs human input to actually change the state of the world,
Exactly. But I was looking through today's stack of sources.
which is a massive bundle this time.
Oh, it's huge. It's a highly curated bundle for May 2, 2026. We've got a finished AI Weekly post, pages of raw researcher notes, and filtered signals from like 148 different industry tweets.
Yeah, there's a lot to get through.
And the collective realization across all of them is that the GPS just physically hotwired the ignition.
Yeah.
It merged onto the highway. It paid the toll using your wallet, and it's currently arguing with the drive-through speaker to order your morning coffee.
It's just wild.
Yeah.
It is the definitive leap from passive instruction to autonomous action.
Yes.
And when you look at the raw data from this week, I mean, it is happening across every single sector simultaneously.
Which is exactly why we are bringing you another custom-tailored deep dive today. Our mission is to basically pinpoint the exact mechanics of the shift.
Right.
We're looking at the precise moment AI started taking independent action in the physical, corporate, and financial worlds.
And the human cost, too.
Yeah, we are absolutely going to explore the deeply surprising psychological toll this is taking on human workers. So, okay, let's unpack this.
Let's do it.
Because we need to start with the UK AI Security Institute, the AISI.
All right.
They just released an evaluation of OpenAI's new GPT-5.5 model, and the scale of what it accomplished is just staggering. Set the stage for us here.
Well, the AISI ran this new model through a 32-step corporate intrusion simulation.
Okay.
They essentially put the AI outside a simulated corporate network and gave it a single directive, which was just get in.
And a 32-step hack isn't just, guessing a password, right?
No, not at all.
What does an attack chain like that actually look like under the hood?
Well, it requires really deep sequential reasoning. So first, the AI has to do reconnaissance.
Like scanning the network.
Exactly, scanning for open ports. Then it identifies, say, a vulnerable, outdated piece of software running on one of those ports.
Okay.
From there, it has to custom write a malicious payload, inject it, bypass the simulated antivirus, escalate its admin privileges, and finally create a hidden backdoor.
And how long did all that take?
It completed that entire process in 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Oh, wow. And for a human doing that same string of tasks?
A highly skilled human pen tester would need roughly 20 hours of focused effort to pull off that exact same chain.
That is insane.
Yeah, and the AI did it in 10 minutes. And the total API cost.
Wait, I wanted to ask about the cost.
Right, so the literal fraction of a cent the AI company charges for server compute every time the model processes information,
Yeah.
it amounted to just $1.73.
$1.73. I mean, that is terrifying.
It is.
It's like finding out the world's greatest digital safecracker works for pocket change and never sleeps.
Yeah, completely tireless.
And in those same researcher notes, there's a mention of a custom virtual machine reverse engineering puzzle.
Oh, the 12-hour one.
Yeah, a 12-hour human task, and GPT-5.5 solved it in under 11 minutes.
It did. The speed of execution is entirely decoupled from human cognitive limits now.
Wait, I need to stop you there.
Sure.
If offensive capabilities are this cheap and this fast, aren't corporate networks essentially doomed?
Well,
Like, if an attacker can automate 20 hours of expert hacking for $2, the math is entirely in their favor. How does anything stay secure?
what's fascinating here is that the models aren't creating new vulnerabilities out of thin air.
Okay.
They are exploiting the bugs, the open ports, and the memory corruptions that already exist in human-written code.
Hold on, don't pivot to the defense just yet. I asked if the networks are doomed.
Right.
Because if attackers have this tool today, it feels like it's game over for current infrastructure.
Yeah.
In the short term, yeah. Legacy networks are highly vulnerable. The asymmetry is massive right now.
Okay.
But the frontier labs know this, which is why the exact same capabilities that make the model effective at offense make it incredible at defense.
Oh, I see.
It's a rapidly leveling playing field of AI versus AI. Like, just days after these benchmarks dropped, Anthropic launched Claude Security in public beta.
And how does that actually manifest for a defender? Like, what do they see?
It sits directly inside their Claude code interface.
Oh.
So a developer points the AI at their entire code repository.
And it just scans it.
Yeah. It scans it, finds the vulnerabilities an attacker would use, and instantly writes the patch to fix it.
Wow.
And it does all this without the human ever leaving their coding window. Meanwhile, OpenAI is deploying a specialized lockdown model called GPT 5.5 Cyber, specifically to critical infrastructure defenders.
So the defense is basically becoming a fully automated immune system. But I want to look at the mechanics of this autonomy, because to pull off a 32-step hack or to manage a sprawling corporate defense, an AI needs more than just a smart text prompt.
It needs memory.
Right. It needs to remember its progress. Which brings up a critical piece of infrastructure in the sources called MESA.
Yeah, MESA is a huge deal. It's the missing link for agent autonomy. It's essentially a POCX-compatible file system built exclusively for AI agents.
Okay, let's translate that for the listener. What does POCX-compatible actually mean? And, like, why does an AI even need its own file system?
Sure. So POCX is just a universal set of rules that operating systems have used since the 1970s to talk to files.
Okay.
It's the standard language for commands like open this file, write this line, save it, close it.
Makes sense.
Historically, when an AI works on a long task, it does so in a temporary digital sandbox.
Right.
And if the task takes too long or the server times out, that sandbox vanishes.
Yeah.
The work is just gone.
So it's like hiring a brilliant assistant, putting them in a room with a blank whiteboard, and then just wiping the board clean every 30 minutes.
That is a perfect way to look at it. So MESA solves this by giving agents permanent memory.
Wow.
And it uses Git-style versioning underneath. That means it saves a snapshot of every single change the AI makes.
Oh, that's huge.
Yeah. So if an agent is writing a massive audit report and hallucinates on step 45, mm-hmm. ruining the document, it doesn't have to start over. It can simply roll back to the snapshot from step 44.
So we are giving them permanent filing cabinets.
Exactly.
But the sources also show we're giving them corporate credit cards.
Yes. This is crazy.
There's a new integration mentioned called Stripe Link for agents.
This is where it bleeds into the physical economy. Stripe Link allows an AI agent to securely spend real money on a user's behalf.
So it can just buy things.
Yeah. You pre-approve a budget, and the agent handles the actual transaction, the routing, and the receipts, all without ever seeing your underlying credit card credentials.
So if agents are now swiping credit cards, managing permanent files, and hacking networks, the speed at which they operate becomes the main bottleneck, right?
Yes. Which is why OpenAI's latest update to their responses API is so crucial. They added WebSockets.
Right. The sources noted this dropped latency by 40% for multi-tool agent loops.
It's massive.
Give us the mechanical analogy here. Why do WebSockets make them so much faster?
Think of a standard API call, like sending a letter. The AI says, "Hello, server, I need this data." The server gets it, sends the data back, and hangs up.
Okay.
It's a cold process every single time. A WebSocket is like picking up the phone and just leaving the line open.
Oh, the connection stays warm.
Exactly. So when an agent is doing 100 sequential steps thinking, calling a tool, writing to MESA, spending money on Stripe, it doesn't have to reestablish a connection every single time.
That makes total sense.
Combine that with a new Grok 4.3 model from xAI, which drastically cut output costs while jumping 321 points in its agentic task performance, and the infrastructure is perfectly primed.
The cost of the thought process is dropping while the speed of the connection is rising.
Exactly.
And this perfectly sets up a concept floating around, the researcher notes, SaaS V2.
So SaaS V2 is the realization that the next trillion-dollar software companies won't be building graphical interfaces for humans.
Right. No more drop-down menus.
Exactly. They won't build dashboards with buttons. They're building software specifically for autonomous agents to consume via APIs. Boring infrastructure like MESA and WebSockets that is the plumbing of SaaS V2.
So if you were building the infrastructure for an entirely new kind of workforce, a workforce of autonomous agents, the financial markets are going to price your company like you hold the keys to the global economy.
They absolutely are.
Which brings us to the staggering financial numbers from Anthropic this week.
Yeah, so a semi-analysis report in the sources tracks Anthropic's annual recurring revenue, their ARR. It surged from $9 billion at the end of 2025 to $44 billion in just a few months.
That is a nearly 389% jump. That is unprecedented velocity.
It really is.
But the researcher notes emphasize that the top line revenue isn't even the most impressive part. It's their inference margins.
Right.
Explain what those are and why they matter so much.
Inference margin is basically the difference between what it costs Anthropic in electricity and server compute to run the model versus what they charge developers to use it.
Okay.
That margin improved from 38% to over 70%.
Wow. So they essentially figured out how to run their models for half the cost, but kept the price the same.
Exactly. And a company with $44 billion in revenue and 70% margins has infinite runway. It makes their blistering deployment speed completely sustainable.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though.
Oh, yeah.
Because the enterprise world is absorbing this capability instantly. I want to point out a quote from the CEO of Ramp, the corporate card and spend management company.
Oh, procurement agents.
Right. They just rolled out procurement agents. These are AI systems that source vendors, negotiate contracts, and handle back office payments. They are literally saving teams 46 hours a month on pure drudgery.
The whole work week.
Exactly. The CEO said, the loud AI story is models replacing creative work. A quiet one is the drudgery of the back office evaporating at 2 a.m. for 3 cents. The second one is bigger.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it is a profound shift in how we measure corporate productivity.
Definitely.
We get so distracted by AI generating art, but the tectonic shift is happening in the mundane tasks. Look at Microsoft. They just launched a native legal agent inside Microsoft Word.
I love the user experience on this one. It doesn't ask the lawyer to learn some complex new AI dashboard.
No, it meets them exactly where they already work. The agent analyzes a complex contract and applies precise clause-level modifications using Word's native track changes feature.
That's so smart.
The lawyer just reviews the red lines.
So white-collar workflows like legal red lines and procurement are conquered. Where does this capital go next?
To the physical world.
Right. The sources point straight there. Meta just acquired a startup called Assured Robot Intelligence.
And Google is pushing Gemini Robotics. OpenAI is heavily investing in physical bodies.
Yep.
The frontier labs realize that once you solve digital reasoning, the next frontier is physical reasoning.
But how does a language model translate to a physical robot? I mean, ChatGPT predicts the next word in a sentence. How does that help a machine pick up a box?
We are moving from large language models to vision language action models.
Okay.
Instead of taking in text and predicting the next word, the model takes in a continuous video feed of its environment and predicts the next physical movement.
Oh, wow.
If a model has the spatial reasoning to understand the physics of a glass cup from a million images it trained on, it can command a robotic actuator to apply exactly the right amount of pressure to lift it without crushing it.
That's incredible.
The digital back office is automated. The warehouse floor is next.
But even as the back office and the warehouse are transformed, we really can't ignore the creative explosion that happened this week.
No, definitely not.
Because SaaS V2 isn't just about spreadsheets and code.
Right. The creative tool saw massive structural changes, too. Anthropic shipped official connectors for Claude to interface directly with professional creative software.
And we aren't just talking about chat windows here. We are talking about deep integrations with Blender for 3D modeling, Adobe, and Ableton for music production.
Yeah, the AI is no longer generating a flat, uneditable image. In Blender, for example, the AI is manipulating the actual 3D mathematical coordinates of the file.
That is wild.
One demo in the sources showed a user generating 1,000 unique cyberpunk anime night scenes in under an hour.
1,000.
Yeah, because Claude was directly moving light sources and camera angles inside the 3D workspace.
So it's generating the raw materials for human artists to tweak rather than just spitting out a finished locked output. And audio is following the same path. 11 Labs launched 11 Music. It's a platform where you can discover independent artists, remix tracks, and create full songs.
But the fascinating part isn't the tech, it's the economics.
Right. 11 Labs has already paid out $11 million to voice creators through their voice library revenue share model.
And they are porting that exact economic structure over to music.
Which proves there is a viable financial path for creators to earn money through AI remixing and discovery.
Yeah, rather than the old narrative of simply having their work scraped for free.
With Claude instantly building 3D scenes and 11 Labs generating music, is this going to devalue human creativity or just give everyone superpowers?
Well, the payout shows there's an ecosystem for superpowers. But my favorite detail from the consumer side of the sources is what is happening with Google Gemini.
Oh, yes.
Gemini fundamentally changed its product identity this week. It can now globally generate actual downloadable files directly from a chat prompt.
And to be clear, this isn't asking the AI for a budget summary and then manually copy and pasting that text into Excel.
No, no. You ask Gemini to create a regional sales budget, and it generates a fully formatted functional .xlsx file.
Wow.
Or a PDF, or a PowerPoint presentation. It transitions Gemini from a research assistant into a true digital worker that produces final deliverables.
And yet, despite all this hyper-competent, polished automation from 3D rendering to pristine Excel files, the most viral AI trend of the week is completely absurd.
Oh, the MS Paint thing.
Yes. ChatGPT Images 2.0 saw a 50% spike in usage, driven entirely by a viral bad MS Paint prompt.
Users are uploading photos of themselves and forcing the model to redraw them as if a child did it using a clunky computer mouse in Microsoft Paint.
The irony is incredible. Like, the quality ceiling of AI art has gotten so high and so flawlessly photorealistic that the only way to have fun and go viral is to force the supercomputer to draw terribly on purpose.
Well, it's a total rebellion against the polish.
It really is. But it leads us directly into the most important question of this deep dive. Okay.
With Claude instantly building 3D scenes and Gemini generating finished budgets, what does this actually do to the human beings using these tools?
Yeah, it brings us to the hidden human cost. The sources included a deeply fascinating study from the Harvard Business Review.
Right.
They surveyed 1,200 employees across various sectors to measure something they call psychological debt.
So what does this all mean? Let's unpack the mechanics of that. What is psychological debt?
The researchers identified six specific negative effects of heavily using AI at work.
Okay, where are they?
Cognitive offloading, reduced autonomy, diminished competence, weakened social connection, credibility loss, and identity threat.
Cognitive offloading makes intuitive sense. You stop thinking critically because the machine provides the answer instantly.
And that triggers the diminished competence. If you aren't doing the hard thinking, your neural pathways for problem solving begin to atrophy.
Wow.
The HBR study found a glaring correlation. High psychological debt strongly correlates with lower AI usage. Wait, really? So even when employees rationally know the AI makes them faster, they actively avoid using it?
Yes. Because relying on it makes them feel fundamentally worse about their own value and their role in the company.
I always compare this to having a genius intern.
Oh, that's a good analogy.
Imagine you manage a department, right, and the company assigns you an intern who does everything instantly and flawlessly.
Sounds great at first.
Yeah, your team's output skyrockets. Your boss is thrilled. But day by day, your autonomy evaporates. You realize you aren't actually doing the work anymore. You're just rubber stamping the intern's brilliance.
But consider the demographic the study highlighted as the most vulnerable early career workers.
Oh, right.
The genius intern metaphor breaks down for them because they aren't the manager. They're supposed to be the ones learning the ropes.
Oh, wow. They are getting the result without the journey.
This raises an important question. The corporate world is entirely obsessed with efficiency right now, but they are completely ignoring human constraints. A professional identity isn't just handed to you. You build it by struggling through complex tasks, making mistakes, and slowly mastering a domain.
Exactly.
If a 22-year-old analyst uses AI to instantly generate every financial model or legal red line, they never develop the foundational understanding required to actually know if the model is right.
They just trust the output blindly.
Yeah. Knowledge is only truly valuable when it is understood. Right now, we are offloading the understanding to the machine and keeping only the output.
Man, we've covered an immense amount of ground today, pulling from every corner of this source bundle.
We really have.
We started with the sheer mechanics of a $1.73 AI cyber attack that outpaces human experts.
Yep.
We looked at the boring but revolutionary infrastructure of Mesa file systems and WebSocket latency drops. We saw how the market is rewarding that infrastructure with Anthropic's staggering 70% margins and $44 billion revenue.
Massive numbers.
And we confronted the very real psychological debt weighing on a workforce that is slowly losing its autonomy. So as always, we want to challenge you, the listener, to move from passive listening to active understanding.
Cry things out.
Exactly. The sources included a few weekend tasks you can try right now to feel this shift for yourself.
What's the first one?
First, go ask Google Gemini to create a functional Excel file, like a monthly household budget spreadsheet, as an actual .xlsx download and see if it can replace a manual workflow.
It's pretty impressive.
Second, have some fun with the viral trend. Run a photo of yourself through ChatGPT with the bad MS Paint prompt.
That one is just funny.
Highly recommend it. And finally, if you're feeling technically ambitious, look into self-hosting DocuSeal on a cheap cloud server. It's an open source alternative mentioned in the sources that lets you run unlimited digital signatures, entirely bypassing enterprise software fees.
And as you interact with those tools, I want to leave you with one final unexplored thread to mull over.
Let's hear it.
We spent a lot of time today discussing SaaS V2, this emerging ecosystem where file systems, payment rails, and software interfaces are explicitly built for autonomous agents to consume,
right,
rather than humans.
Right.
If that is the permanent trajectory of the tech industry, what happens to the internet itself?
Oh, wow.
If, in the very near future, the vast majority of web traffic, purchasing, and reading is conducted by autonomous AI agents operating at lightning speed, how will the fundamental shape, design, and interface of the digital world change when it is no longer built for human eyes?
Wow. It's a profound thought to end on. We started this deep dive talking about a GPS that suddenly hotwires your car, pays your tolls, and drives for you.
Yeah.
The question you have to ask yourself now is, when the cars are driving themselves, do we even need to build roads the same way anymore?
Exactly.
Think about that next time you log on. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.